So what God's warning was here in Genesis, of course, he made everything and everything was good, meaning morally good. Everything was morally good after the 7 days of creation. Adam wasn't a sinner. Eve wasn't a sinner. But God told him, don't do this. He said, for you shall surely die. He says, in that day, you shall surely die. Said, don't do this because you will die. The serpent beguiled Eve. She ate and then gave to her husband. He ate. Did they die physically right here? Adam and Eve, was that the end of the story? If they died physically, we don't exist. They died spiritually at this point. Spiritual death. This brought about spiritual death for every single descendant. We're born dead. In Adam, we are all dead. Every single person that you pass on the streets, that you work with, that you go to school with, that you live with, that you look at in the mirror, born dead. Born spiritually dead. Born dead. Born dead. Born spiritually dead. This teaching of spiritual death, let me say this about this. Men aren't only dead because of Adam's sin. Men are also dead because of their own sins. We are born spiritually dead, and we have no desire to be alive because we love our sins and hate God. That's the plight of humanity. When you read through the scriptures, that's the plight of all humans. Is that we love our sin and we hate God. All that is implied or explicitly taught in Scripture that is part of spiritual death is, I have 8, 9 points right here, and it's not 9 points I'm going to be teaching, I'm just 9 different things. First, that we love our sin. The Bible teaches that dead men love their sins. Second, man's heart is evil. His heart is evil. But our society tells us, follow your heart, right? Follow your heart. But Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Third, man does not and cannot seek God. He does not because he doesn't want to. Man doesn't want God. Man does not want to come after God, and he cannot do it because he's dead, right? Fourth, he cannot understand spiritual things. He cannot understand them. It says he cannot. That means he does not have the ability to. Fifth, man is at war with God. Out of anybody that we would want to go to war with, we go to war with God. Colossians tells us that we're enemies in our minds. Wicked works. We've chosen the sovereign king of the universe to go to war with. Number six, by nature, we are children of wrath. Ephesians 2:3 tells us that. By nature, we are children of wrath. That means we are born children of wrath. Seven, he hates God. Man hates God. Jesus said it. In John 7, he said it, that the world hates him, right? Don't be surprised if the world hates you because it hated me first. The world hates God. Eight, dead men cannot come to Christ. John 6:44. Jesus said, no man can come to me. And he says, except the Father which sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up the last day. Nine, they have a heart of stone. So So your heart's not only evil, but you have a stony heart too. You have a heart of stone that does not respond to God. It does not respond to God in a loving manner. It does not respond to God in an affectionate manner. They have a heart of stone. They have a heart of stone. It does not respond to God in a loving manner. It does not respond to God in a loving manner. All these things I just mentioned are part of being spiritually dead. And all these things I've mentioned, we are all guilty of. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except, that means there's no other way. Here lies the problem. We have the problem that we are sinners, we're dead, we have all of this. But the problem is that we violated God's law. But the real problem is that God is just. If God wasn't just, it wouldn't matter if we violated his law, right? We have a court system that doesn't always lay out justice. When people violate a law, sometimes we go free. God's not that way. God is just. And when you violate a law, justice means that you pay for it. That's what justice is. Justice means, here's this law, you've broken this law, you pay for it. We have a problem that we sin, and we have a problem that God is just means we're going to pay for it. But the really big problem is God is eternal, and his law is eternal. So when we break this eternal law, there's eternal condemnation from it. We've earned an eternal debt when we violated this law. This debt cannot be paid by a finite being. A human, a mere human, cannot pay this debt. So a finite being cannot pay this infinite debt. This means two things. First, you cannot do anything. Do all the good works you want, it's not getting you anywhere. Because you have an eternal debt. Second, the only way to pay this debt is with an eternal payment. Do all the good works you want, it's not getting you anywhere. Do all the good works you want, it's not getting you anywhere. Now we'll see God's provision. That's the good news. The good news is that God provided that eternal payment. This is the main point of Scripture from Genesis 3 after the fall. All of Scripture is about redemption. We didn't need it before Genesis 3. There was no redemption before Genesis 3 because there was no fall. After the fall, everything was about redemption. And everything from Genesis 1 to the very end of the book is about the Redeemer. Everything is about him. God, in his mercy and grace, came to earth, born of a virgin. He fulfilled the law. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So the God-man, Christ, keeps the law that we cannot. Came to earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law, fulfilled the old covenant that nobody else could do. Couldn't be a mere man. A mere man couldn't fulfill the law and lay down his life for anybody. It had to be an eternal payment. And the only eternal payment there was God the Son. And man, because it had to be man to pay for man's sin. He had to be 100% God, 100% man. And only one has fit this bill. Only one person in all of history has fit this bill. Not Muhammad, not Gandhi, not any other prophet, Joseph Smith. None of them have lived a perfect life. None of them came down from heaven, born of a virgin, and fulfilled the law. None of them. If there were many ways, I mean, many men had to fulfill God's law and lay down their perfect lives for the sins of their people, and nobody else has done that. That's not all the good news right there. If Christ came, lived a perfect life, was murdered for the sins of his people, and that was the end of the story, that's not good news. Paul says, if that was it, we have no hope. We are worse off because we're believing in a lie. We have no hope. We have no hope. We are worse off because we're believing in a lie. The fact is, Christ, the grave wasn't it. The grave wasn't it. The grave wasn't it. The fact is, Christ, the grave wasn't it. Christ is what the Bible calls a propitiation. I believe this is one of the most important words in all the Bible. And it's a word that means it takes away the wrath of God. See, because of our condition, we have the wrath of God abiding. That's John 3:36 tells us that the wrath of God abides on the unbelieving. It's always there. Everywhere a person goes, the wrath is always there. Psalm 7:11 says God is angry with the wicked every day. I hear people say he drank it, that cup of God's wrath. Christ drank it on the cross. What finite man will spend all of eternity and never quench, never get rid of that cup, God took it 3 hours for his people. Romans chapter 4 tells us he rose for our justification. Don't forget that. Brethren, when we're preaching the gospel doesn't end at the death, because he rose for our justification. The gospel doesn't end at the death. Because he rose for our justification. The gospel doesn't end at the death. Because he rose for our justification. For those who may not be in Christ, that first verse we looked at where it said, repent and believe the gospel. That was what Christ, those were the words of Jesus Christ to you tonight. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice to take away sins. Trust in him. Trust in him alone. If you look to Christ as your Savior, we sing a song, Mighty to Save. And he is mighty to save. And I guarantee every single person in here that's saved will agree with that. That he is mighty to save. Look to him and he will save you. And he is mighty to save. Look to him and he will save you.